Hi, I'm Nolan.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we are planting the Garden Church in Phoenix, Arizona. Today we're going to talk about a few things, three specifically. One, we're going to do a little bit of Q&A. We got some questions on Instagram and we will respond to those. Number two, we're going to do a recap of our church planting assessment in Texas last week. And then number three, we're going to talk a little bit about the vision of the Garden Church. Ready?
Yeah, ready.
All right, let's do Q&A. So the first question is, what is our timeline?
That's a good question.
What is our timeline?
Right now, the biggest obstacle is just figuring out what we're doing with our current house and as well as finding what we're going to do when we get to Arizona, whether or not we're going to rent our house currently or sell it, and same with the scenario in Arizona as well. I think we have a timeline as far as when we know we would love to like launch church services, which would be hopefully next fall. Like, I think fall is just a great season where people are kind of settling and they've done their summer things and kids are starting school. You know, it's kind of like a fresh start for some people. And so, and weather-wise, I think it cools down a little bit towards the fall in Arizona. So, yeah, timeline-wise, that's what we're looking at. That's what we could appreciate tons of prayers for, is just direction with our house and just, you know, figuring out a location of where exactly we want to land.
When will we move to Arizona?
So we are trying to move by the end of this year, for sure. So I think as of October.
Give me like an earliest, latest.
Yeah, October to December. Yeah. I think as soon as October hits, you will be finished being on staff at our current church. And it will just kind of be like, it's go time. Like whatever we can find that's available and...
Yeah, so even right now we're looking at what it looks like to rent, what it looks like to sell, and then we will basically do that and move in October. So that's kind of the goal. That could take us till November, but we'll see. And then we talked through, so those were kind of two questions. What is our timeline? And then when do we expect the church to open? Just to speak to that a little bit, like we want to launch large, like meaning we want to gather a lot of people between now and then. So the kind of follow up to wanting to launch in the fall is that we want to spend a lot of energy connecting with people between now and then. And so everything from the Instagram to just connections we have naturally through friends to once we hit the ground, hopefully October, maybe November, what we're going to be doing is throwing barbecues and spending time with people all of the time. So there's going to be, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people that we are meeting, interacting with. If you're in Arizona right now, we would love to do a Zoom hangout or chat over the phone, connect with you, any questions you have, and just get to know your story. So we've been doing that a little bit with people and connecting with a couple of really cool people. And not just a couple, a good handful, and we'd love to connect with more. So that's kind of the heart there. So that process will include not only connecting with a bunch of people, but we also want to start Bible studies in our house and beyond, so that groups of people that are preparing to be part of the church, being part of the launch team, are getting poured into, getting really growing together, getting to know each other's stories, and growing closer to Jesus. So, towards the latter half of that kind of 9 month to a year process, we'll be doing like vision nights. So, casting vision for what the church will be all about, talking through key topics, key ideas, and honestly just having fun together. Doing a lot of worship, doing a lot of things like that as a precursor to actually having public services, hopefully next fall. Yeah. So the second section now, let's talk a little bit about our assessment last week.
So awesome. It was such a cool experience. So we traveled to Dallas. We were in Flower Mound, Texas. We were with Acts 29. It's a church planting network. And gosh, it was just the coolest. We spent 2.5 days with people we'd never met before.
Yeah.
From all over the U.S. And it was just incredible. You know, there was the assessment process. Then we had a meet and greet. You know, we had some devotional time. You preached. We had to present kind of a prospectus, just kind of like the vision of our church and what that's going to look like timeline wise. We had a couple hour interviews.
Yes.
With two incredible couples who have planted a church, both of them separately in Colorado. That was incredible. And just had some times with the guys, the girls. We went out to dinner with some people. And it was just an incredible time, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, we just kept looking at each other like, gosh, this is so refreshing. And, like, I think for me, the coolest thing was, like, you know, it's Acts 29. There's not a 29th chapter in Acts, you know? But the concept is that the church continues to grow and move forward. And I think for me, sitting in the room with, there was 8 couples total that were desiring to plant churches, and then all the assessment team. And just looking around, like, knowing that these people were all over, you know, Alaska, Colorado, Texas, Georgia. There's, like, people from everywhere. And it was just so cool to be like, oh my gosh, this is, like, whether or not they go through this network, like, they're still desirous of planting a church, and they have a burden on their heart. And, like, this is, like, how the church moves forward. Like, this is how it doesn't die. Like, as people, and we just got to be in that room with those people. And it just was a cool experience to see. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's always fun to kind of get away and just experience a different place, first of all. To be out of your element, you're obviously going to Texas was kind of cool. The place we stayed, there's a little river right there. And so we had a lot of just refreshing opportunities to, even after we experienced little assessment segments, to go back to the hotel, take a walk, process, debrief, talk about different things. And so, yeah, I think if we were debriefing right now and talking about some of the things that we experienced, let's talk about each day, kind of like day one, day two, day three. So the first day, it was literally just like, come eat some dessert, hang out, and meet the other people there. What was your experience like in that conversation setting?
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, you walk into it and you're kind of like, are they watching my every move? Like, you know, are they watching how I walk through the door and how I interact with people? Are they, like, taking notes on, like, you know, how
is
friendly?
Is her hair all put together?
You know, like, did I eat the dessert or not? You know, like, all those things. Gosh. No, just kidding. But, you know, you walk in and you're a little bit just like, this is crazy. You know, these are the people who are going to assess us, and that God sovereignly picked too to, like, be in relationship with us. So I think right off the bat, it was really cool. I met a girl that had gone to your Bible school, and she was bewildered that we had that connection. It was, you know, Bible school, Ozark Christian College in Joplin, Missouri. Yeah. So random. And so
she was so sweet.
She was awesome.
Everyone from over there is really, really nice.
Yeah. They're all sweet as pie. So it was just a cool connection right off the bat. And then you just kind of mingled with people, heard their story a little bit, where they were from. Jeff Metter, I think.
Yeah.
Is his name. Jeff Metters. He kind of heads up some of the Acts 29 stuff. He does their podcast. He kind of just gave us a little, like, word and encouragement, you know, just being like, this is awesome. And, like, thank you guys for coming out and, like, for choosing to be vulnerable and, like, to, like, you're humbling yourselves to be picked apart, basically. And, like, you know, for the sake of, you know, having a successful church plant and with you in a really healthy spot.
Yeah, I think they continually thanked everyone for being so intentional about choosing to be evaluated. And because they kept saying, like, you don't have to do this, obviously. Like, you can go try to plant a church. But being evaluated is coming under people and saying, how healthy do you think we are? Do you guys think that we are prepared sufficiently? Do you think we have our logistical plan kind of laid out in a way that makes sense, you know, by a bunch of people who have successfully planted churches and seen growth and walk with Jesus? And so I think that was pretty refreshing. All right, so day two, we got there, and there was an encouragement in the morning. After that, we did, you know, we actually had a Bible, what is it called? Like a Bible test, literally like it was Bible school. Like, hey, you have to answer all these questions and see if you know the Bible well.
Just the guys. I got out clean. I was like, yeah, no.
Yeah, they didn't torture the wives with that. But everybody that was like a lead planter had to do that. And so it was pretty shameful. There were a couple questions where I was like, they were asking about Abigail, like the woman who addressed David. And I'm literally like trying to think of her name. I'm like, dude, I know it's a 90s name. I know the story. Like, I know her husband. Something. I was like, it's got to be like, I don't know, like Lindy or Rachel or something like from the 90s. And I could not come up with the names. It was taking humble pie. You know, it's funny, before that we also got to share our vision for the church, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And sharing the vision, and in the vision I talk about biblical literacy and the importance of it, and then they hand me that test and I can't remember the name. Abigail. So That was a moment for me. It was a little bit of humble pie. So, and then later on during the day, we had, we didn't get assessed that day, did we?
Mm-hmm. We had an interview, yeah. After that, you guys kind of broke off. Some of the guys were, their preaching was assessed. And then some of you guys went off and did your Bible quiz.
Yeah.
The wives met together during that time.
Oh, yeah. Tell us a little bit of the wives.
That was so cool. The Lord totally, ministered to me in that session. To be honest, that was the part I was dreading. I was kind of I don't know what this is going to be. I don't know emotionally what that room is going to feel like with all those women. And, who knows where they are in this process. Some may not be totally on board with what, their husband even maybe wants to do. I just don't know. And and sometimes, I think we're at a season where I'm just 110%. Our kids are of age to where it makes sense. I'm a little bit more available, and I'm just genuinely excited. So honestly, I was scared to go into that room and be too excited. And I also was just people don't know me. What do I share? And but gosh, it was such an incredible time. It was just, a little meet and greet with the women. But then it was
Why was it incredible?
Well, so it was open up for Q&A, to the assessor women that have planted a church with their husbands and stuff like that. And I asked the question, I was like, hey, tell me about, for those of you who have moved and uprooted your life, what was that like for your kids? And how did you create rhythms and bond with them in that process? Because that's something for me that I'm Ollie's almost 8, and I know he's gonna miss his friends so much. I know he'll make new friends. He's incredibly friendly. But I think it was overwhelming, the wisdom that was shared by women of all, their kids are all different ages. They've either done it 20 years ago or they're currently in it. And I mean, some of the things that really stood out to me was, first of them was make Sundays the best day of the week for your kids. I think oftentimes, even everyone just serving, you're it's a lot to get out the door on a weekend morning. And especially if one of your spouses is already at church or whatever, and you're trying to have a good attitude and get dressed, everyone, eat breakfast and stuff, and have it not be a chaotic thing. But they're just saying it's going to be chaotic sometimes, but make it the best day and create a rhythm where it's maybe that's the day you got to brunch as a family. Maybe it's you go to dinner as soon as dad's done preaching at the end of the day, and just something that the kids can look forward to. And they said too, a lot of them just say, get down on your knees and thank your kids for serving in this way. It's a big deal to have their dad totally just unavailable, for the entirety of the day for the most part. And but they're contributing to the kingdom, even just by being willing to but they know that that's how it goes in our family. And so just thanking them for taking part in serving in that way. I include them in huge prayers for your church. One of their, the ladies that shared, their oldest son, wasn't necessarily walking with the Lord as tightly as they wish that he was, in his adult life. But someone asked him recently, what was the coolest part about, your parents being church planners? What was that like? And the thing he responded with was, it was actually so cool to see God answer huge, specific prayers. Yo. It was he's it would be things that, you can't even, fathom of happening. That's crazy awesome. Asks. And, they were, it was just incredible to witness and, to see God's faithfulness tangibly in scenarios. So they were saying, include your kids in that. And then another one was just let your kids just be kids. Just because they're pastor's kids doesn't mean they're held to a higher standard in the sense of they're going to be perfect and better than all the other kids. They're just kids, and give them permission to be just normal kids.
Yeah.
That means
church people can be pretty evil and almost put a ton of pressure on kids that actually makes them end up worse and choose rebellion.
And embittered towards the church too. And so they just were encouraging, you're going to say no to a lot of things. Try to say yes to as many things as you can. Don't pick fights over even silly things what are they wearing to church, or silly ways they want to show their creativity or involvement in certain seasons. Just let them be themselves. And as long as you have a good relationship with them and you are calling them to honor the Lord in their lives and stuff like that. But it's just cool. They were just our kids are just kids. You know what I mean? One of the ladies shared, my daughter was so concerned when she saw that there were some serving slots open on a Sunday. And she was oh, no, who's going to do setup, And she just encouraged her daughter, it doesn't have to be you, you know, that fills in that spot. Like, yeah. just because you're the pastor's kid, like, let someone else rise up to own that spot, and it's going to be okay. But, like, just because they were the pastor's kid doesn't mean that they need to
feel the pressure and the
grind
weight
24/7 of, yeah. yeah, of that. Yeah.
Jesus says that he will build the church, mm-hmm. right? And not us. And so the idea is that, like, the gates of hell will not mm-hmm. stand against Jesus's building of the church, not your children's building of the church, mm-hmm. or your children being overwhelmed with the pressure mm-hmm. that only Jesus can carry.
Yeah.
And so we want to be careful to, like, make sure that our kids feel like kids. They feel like they can grow up and mm-hmm. become disciples of Jesus just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so our job is to
have the same amount of grace extended to them just as everyone else.
Yeah, yeah. And our job is to disciple our kids. Our mm-hmm. job is to absolutely pursue their hearts mm-hmm. and but ultimately only the Holy Spirit can ignite our kids' hearts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. And then the last day, again, there was an encouragement. Let's talk a little bit, though, about the main feature of the last day, which is these really long kind of evaluation sessions. Mm-hmm. What was that experience like for you?
It was cool. I mean, it's hard to, like, unpack your entire life in, like, mm-hmm. a few hours with a stranger. You know, you're, like, anything you say, you're like, ah, what context do I include this in, you know? And you feel like a crazy person a little bit because you're like, am I confusing any of you? But, gosh, it was cool. I think first, just knowing these people are people who have planted churches. Mm. Some are on staff with Acts 29 just because they have certain roles that they do during the week, you know. Yeah. But for this specific kind of thing, the assessments, they come for no pay. It's volunteer.
Give their time.
They give their time because they are so passionate about seeing people raised up to church plant. And, yeah. like, that was, I think, so humbling. But it just, it, like, changed the whole thing kind of just because you're like, these are people who... they have kids at home. They've got stuff to do. They might be preaching even this weekend. And, like, yet they're here to just spend hours and hours with me.
Giving them, you know? Giving us their time.
Giving us their time, asking us hard questions out of love.
Yeah.
I think the care piece was mm-hmm. something, I think, like, otherworldly, to be honest.
I think we learned from those.
We learned so much.
The things between the lines. So, for instance, yeah, like, they were just super caring, super generous, like, mm-hmm. even asking, do you guys have allergies to things? Mm-hmm. And then going out of their way to find a random, like, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. desserts or bars mm-hmm. for snacks and fruit and things that, like, you could eat. Mm-hmm. Like, going way out of their way for mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Like, who wants to go to the special grocery store and pick up mm-hmm. the stuff?
So intentional, even just conversationally. Yeah, like, being like, oh, I remember you wrote this on your interview. Like, tell me more about that. Or, yeah.
Yeah. I think what that spoke to us was how important it is to just remember people and how mm-hmm. Valuable it is to people to know that you care about them. Mm-hmm. And so it really challenged us to grow in our hospitality. Mm-hmm. I think also their vulnerability, like mm-hmm. there's two kinds of authority. There is the authority from position where you're like, oh man, like people should listen to me because I am a pastor or because I, whatever. It's like an authority built out of your position. But then there is authority that comes from authenticity, mm-hmm. meaning that, like, you've lived such an authentic life or you're so real about your own struggles and what you've been through that when you speak to those problems that other people are going through, you're speaking from the authority of authenticity. Like, dude, I've been there. I know what you're going through and, like, I feel with you. That pain, and I can speak to those circumstances of life. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one thing that those leaders really had that challenged me to say, man, I want to press into the vulnerable spaces and really be real and raw mm-hmm. with people around me.
And I mean, it's like Jesus, because he, I mean, came, walked with us, you know,
the
did
incarnation.
What we did, all the things, and like sat and ate with us, like he was hospitable. And like, yeah. it was just such a reflection of that. And I think, I mean, we're kind of in a unique situation where we care for people a lot of the time. And I think there's so many people that do care about us mm-hmm. and like show us that too. But I think it was kind of like this like out of world magnification of what yeah. care can look like and intentionality. And man, we were just blown away and so thankful to experience that.
And then the last thing I wanted to share from the assessment is we met significant people. And one in particular we'll just share on the podcast here is a guy named Mark. He was he's a pastor over in Reno. He's an older dude. And just from the get-go, I kind of hit it off with him and really enjoyed him. he was just super open to my questions. I would ask him different things about ministry, about what they're experiencing at their church. Their church is like light years ahead of anything I've seen in ministry, just how many people they're reaching, what their structure is, all of that stuff, how many churches they've planted. And as he like would answer my questions, he just gave me the time of day. And that just was so refreshing and encouraging. And then during my preaching assessment, he is the guy who oversees like all the preaching assessment for the entire network. And so he gave me like a live, I don't know how to say it, but just like,
kind of like American Idol for, you know, or the show with the big red X. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's horrendous. But like he tore up my message. Like it was just brutal. And if you don't get assessed and evaluated in your preaching or in your leadership in a brutal way by people who are so far ahead of you, it's disorienting. Then what happens is you are the lid on your leadership, meaning you are the smartest person you know, and therefore like you're only going to do things the way that you know how to do them. But when you get evaluated by somebody who's way, way ahead of you, they can help you skip steps and actually reveal to you areas of weakness in your leadership and in your preaching and so forth that takes you way, way further. So,
and it's all done with the intent of better clarity of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Like that was the crazy thing. It's not to exalt you. It's not to like make you cooler or have a, you know, more people show up on a Sunday. It's like genuinely.
Well, yeah. One of the guys was like, I want you to read this particular book on exalting Jesus in preaching. Because he's like, you love Jesus and you're passionate about Jesus. I want you to exalt him even more. And to like push me in that direction was really powerful and really important for me.